When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
You can live a long, healthy life if you're HIV positive. With the current treatments, we can get patients down to being undetectable.
The array of options is so much greater today.
U equals U. Undetectable equals untransmittable. If someone who's HIV positive, they're taking their medication, they're undetectable, they're not able to pass HIV to their partners. Do it for you, Montgomery County.
Your HIV treatment is their prevention. Get more information at doitforumc.org.
Hey everyone, Scott Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
Yo, what's happening, Rush Nation? We're back, second day of the week, into week three of the season. Big man, how you doing?
Yeah, all good. It's flying by, really, when you come to think about it. Like, we're already, like, a good amount of the season, like, done, really, when you think about it. It's so early, but it's an eighth of the season, which is just crazy, like, when you put it like that. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, there was a lot of storylines. It was great to watch, but, man, I'm just excited. The season is here. You know, and I'm sure I'm probably a little bit more positive than you are today, given what's happened with Denver versus what's happened with Tampa. So, I mean, you must be quite despondent with some of the news that's come out in the last 24 hours.
Yeah, I mean, two tough losses, one last minute walk off to Gostkowski and the Titans, and then a really good display against the Steelers, I thought, on Sunday, considering Drew Lock was out early, Cortland Sutton wasn't himself. And we still managed to hang with them for most of the game. So that was positive. But then, yeah, the news of Drew Lock and Cortland Sutton's injuries recently, in, like you say, in the last 24 hours, have hit hard, especially with Von Miller also missing the season already. It's just what was a positive season. And, I mean, there's still much we can take from it, but it's just not the excitement that we wanted at the beginning of the season as a Broncos fan. But I guess that's with no pre-season, we've seen loads of this already. I mean, we, like, this week's mental for injuries, and it's just unfortunate some of them were Broncos.
Yeah, it just can't believe that you know, that there's so many great players that have gone down. Like, we know injuries happen, but it just seems to be like the really impacting players have all gone down, and we'll get into it in the show. I talked a little bit about it on the waiver wire pod, but it's just like crazy. There'll be so many fans across the league, and injuries is the one thing that we absolutely hate about this sport, and it just seems like it's just going to make it a bit, not unbearable, but it's going to make it a lot harder this year, because some of the people we want to, you know, watch and see, we're not going to get to see. You know, Von Miller, you mentioned, some of the players we talk about injury wise coming up, done for the year. It's just a really difficult time, because you know, we knew there was going to be injuries. We've talked about it on the show, but it's just going to be a hard watch for some fans. There'll be some fans, Giants fans, be very despondent, Panthers fans despondent, you know, Denver fans the same, 49er fans getting a win, but they've got a lot of players that they've lost now for the season. It's just really difficult to be out there, but nothing compares more. And I didn't put this in the show notes, but I got some news a little while ago. So we play in a Twitter experts league with a bunch of people from the US. The co-host of the Superflex show by the name of James the Brain, he was in this. He's actually the defending champion of this league. This is the league that we tanked in. Well, I got some sad news literally not that long ago saying that he passed away on Saturday. It was a complete shock to everyone. And John Hogue, who hosts the show, had spoken to him a little bit. We talked to James through Messenger. Don't really know him really well, but it's really sad news. It's ripped through our sort of fantasy community. So, you know, while there's injuries and, you know, we're using football as escapism, and these injuries are definitely going to hurt people's feelings and definitely sort of ruin potential games they might watch. There's also a lot of real life consequences going on with coronavirus, with people losing loved ones, and to hear someone so impassioned, infused in our community to lose their life, it's really, really sad. I don't know the details as to why, but yeah, rest in peace, James. And didn't know you that well, but you know, we did play in the league together. I think we did a trade together. It's just really sad news, and it kind of hits home that, you know, whilst all this stuff we're about to talk about is really important and fun and things that we absolutely love, you know, minus the injuries, of course, there's also a lot of other stuff. And I just wanted to say that because it's been on my mind the last couple of hours. I didn't even text you about it because, you know, we've just both been so busy today. But yeah, just, yeah, sad news.
Absolutely. That is terrible. And our thoughts and prayers go out to his family and friends.
Yeah, and to John Hogue, who he co-hosts the Superflex show with, and everybody else. I'm sure there'll be some ways that people can contribute if they want to his family. Or I appreciate that a lot of people probably don't know who he is listening to this, but those of you that do, it's a sad thing, especially when it's the second year in a row we've played in the league with somebody and they haven't made it to the end of the season, and that's really heartbreaking because we're not that old and yeah, the people we're playing with aren't that old, and we shouldn't be thinking about these sorts of things. But yeah, rest in peace, James. This one's for you.
Absolutely. Well, Matt, we do have some better news in that we've got some winners of the full 10 yards giveaway.
Yeah, that's right. So we rolled it over. We took people who sent us DMs or people that are involved with 5 yard rush, and they either, you know, took advantage of the offers, or they, you know, they contribute to the podcast, or they did something worthy of claiming the prizes. And we asked people to get involved. And I'm not going to lie, I was a little disappointed with the level of responses that we had, especially as it was the pinned tweet. It was pretty easy to find. But we do have two very worthy winners. So at Matt Inkster, at AVFCJPS, that's James and Matt. Congratulations, you two will win the physical copies of the Fantasy Football Playbook. So I'm going to speak to Tim over at the Full 10 Yards, and he's going to arrange for those to make their ways to your doorstep, so you'll have something nice to read, hopefully in the very near future. So well done, guys.
Yep, congratulations, fellas. Right, Murph, we've got our boatload of news to get into, so I suppose let's get into it.
Fly straight through this. So, you know, we've already talked about somebody who's lost their life, and I wanted to start this not necessarily with the most important injury, but probably the most important scratch of the weekend, not from a player perspective, but as to why, and that's with James White. I actually went to bed before this game, so I woke up to this news. I didn't hear about it, and I took him out of a lot of lineups, not because I knew anything was coming, but just didn't think it was the best play. But to find that he was inactive because he lost his father in an auto accident and his mother's in critical condition and not out of the realms of possibility of losing her life either. So she's got quite a battle on her hands. So really gutting news for James White. Must have been told about this very, very last minute. you know, thoughts go out to his family. And yeah, I'm sure he's absolutely devastated. And you know, there's no way you can play a game when you are hearing that news so close to kickoff. Because like I said, I went to bed probably an hour and a bit before kickoff, and that news hadn't broken. Maybe he knew at that point. I don't know, but yeah, very sad news.
Yeah, absolutely incomprehensible, isn't it? Unless you've been through that sort of thing yourself, you just can't imagine the absolute horror that would be. So
yeah, I mean, I've been in that situation. Now I lost my father 15 years ago, and it, very different. We weren't very close, so I kind of got the news, and I went to work. You know, I couldn't afford not to go to work. But your head's not in it. Like, you, as much as you try and fake it till you make it, it doesn't really work. And it's very different. Me, I was working in a pub at the time as an assistant manager, and you know, nothing really consequential. If I don't work, nothing bad happens. James White, obviously, it's a national televised game. If he's not really in it, he could get very seriously hurt. And you know, he's got his own health and well-being and things. So, you know, he definitely made the right decision there. And because, you know, you can't comprehend how you deal with that in the moment, and each person deals with it differently. And anybody, and I saw some horrible things on Twitter saying he should have played, which I think is disgusting. And I think anybody that has that just has absolutely no love for this sport, or for people in general. But I woke up to people like complaining they lost their weeks to James White not playing, and that information should have been leaked sooner. Like, just, if you're going to write something on Twitter, just read it back before you send it, because things like that just aren't helpful. And yeah, thoughts go out to James White, because that's a difficult thing to go through. And yeah, do you know what? Even if I had lost a fantasy week to James White losing his dad, do you know what? I wouldn't have cared in the grand scheme of things. Like, there are things far more important than a game of fantasy football, as much as we love it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you're tweeting about it in a way that it is, you've considered to be affecting your life, maybe you should consider what you're going through yourself, and why that affects your life in that way, because surely it shouldn't. And you need to have a little look in the mirror and work out what's going on.
Yeah, 100%. Like, you just gotta, your life can't be that great that is the worst thing that's going on in your life. Yeah, so just, and do you know what, even if it is, then just keep your mouth shut, because there's a lot of people going through a lot of things right now. And I'm not trying to bring the down on the podcast. It'll get a lot more humorous if you've turned off because there's been a lot of bad news in the last few minutes. So I apologize. We're just sort of reporting what's going on and people that we know, etc. But yeah, I just hope people realize that, you know, there's just some really, it's just not the right way to do things.
Absolutely. Moving on, Los Angeles Rams running back Cam Akers suffered a rib injury in the first quarter and did not return against the Eagles. Malcolm Brown and Devin Singletary, Darrell Henderson did the damage in a Rams win over the Eagles. Haven't seen anything about this one. Is it bad, Murph?
Not seen too much of an update, but given the fact that ribs and you think about a running back in particular, you know, if it's a bruised rib, you might miss a week, maybe two. If it's, you know, broken ribs, probably about the same. It really depends on how it affects him. It can be all sorts of different kinds of injuries. So I think it's an interesting one. I think for now, you're going to look at that. You've got to work on the expectation. He's probably going to miss 2 weeks and see what happens from there. But Darrell Henderson looked good. For the first time in his career, he actually looked really good. And him and Michael Brown, I think, are two players who could be fantasy relevant. I said this in the podcast that went out yesterday, that I think if Darrell Henderson is free in your league, you should probably consider adding him, because I think he's going to keep Cam Akers out of that job potentially if he takes the most of his opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, they could possibly be the kind of guys, him and Brown, who flip flop each week, and you play the wrong one each week. They've got that certain feeling about them for me, anyway, of the Rams backfield currently without Akers. This one is near and dear to my heart. Green Bay Packers wide receiver Davante Adams suffered a hamstring injury in the second half against the Lions and did not return. I had an absolutely brutal week injury-wise in my home Dynasty League, but no one wants to hear about my team. Any news on Adams' hamstring, Muff?
No, if it's a hamstring injury, again, you're looking at likely a couple of weeks. I'm just going to do a quick search to see if that's come out.
It does seem to be, though, that it is lower leg and soft tissue injuries that are the main injuries of concern at the moment, with what we talked about a couple of weeks ago with no preseason and training and stuff. Hamstrings seem to be tearing at an alarming rate.
Yeah, absolutely. The one thing I would say with Devontae Adams, and this isn't a massive slight against him, just something that I have always been aware of with Adams. Adams kind of went as off as the consensus wide receiver too. And with his talent, I agree he probably is that. But Adams always seems to miss a couple of games a season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he has that tag, and it's why, for me, I couldn't draft him over a Julio Jones or even a DeAndre Hopkins. Maybe this year I might have done more, given that Hopkins moved teams, although that seems to be working out really, really well.
Yeah.
And, yeah, Adams is always going to – he's always sort of had this history of soft tissue injuries. And this one I probably would put down to a lack in conditioning and everything. And there hasn't been any sort of official update yet. So hopefully he gets better really quickly and comes back on the field and only has to miss out a week maximum. Because I do think he probably isn't going to play this week as a result of that injury. It'd be a surprise.
Yeah. Los Angeles Chargers quarterback Tyrod Taylor did not play after suffering a chest injury before Sunday's kickoff. This was a surprise against the Chiefs. Taylor was sent to a local hospital for evaluation after experiencing difficulty breathing, but he was discharged Sunday night. So rookie Justin Herbert started in Taylor's place. And I thought Justin Herbert did a pretty good job.
I thought he was terrific. I thought he was really, really good. And that's it for Tyrod Taylor in LA now. Unless Herbert gets injured, which, you know, with the way players are going down, that's always a possibility. But I can't see Herbert losing his place now. You know, people look at rookie performances and rookie first games and they judge them however they like. Justin Herbert probably found out he was starting at most 20 minutes before the game. Because at five at kickoff time, an hour before kickoff, he didn't know because Tyrod Taylor was out there. So it would have been at some point between there and 20 minutes before. The commentating crew didn't know that was happening. They had spoken to Tom Telesco. They'd spoken to the coaching staff. Tyrod was the starter. And they thought he was just coming in as like almost like a gadget trick play when they called it. It's like, oh, Justin Herbert's out for the first play. And they kind of thought like, oh, well, maybe he's just going to get one play. And, oh, he's staying out here. Like, they didn't know.
Yeah.
So to perform to the level he did, and listen, did he make a mistake? Yes, he did. But I thought with no prep, no game plan, no time to really accept the fact he was starting an NFL game for the first time in his career, I thought he was terrific. And, you know, I think I've always sort of ummed and ahed on Herbert, but I definitely through the draft process, he grew on me a lot more. And I think he has the attributes and tools to be a reasonably good NFL starter. And yesterday proved it.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the main draws on him coming into the draft process and before that was his maneuverability and athleticism. And absolutely, he proved that yesterday with a great rushing touchdown straight out the gate. So
first drive. Yeah. First drive as an NFL quarterback and he runs it in. And that's all it worked. That's all, you know, the easiest way to silence critics in the NFL is to go out there and do the things that they say you can't do.
Yeah.
And Justin Herbert did it immediately. Yeah. And to be honest, I think he looks very similar to how Tyrod Taylor is, but more dynamic. He seems to have really good control. He's got a great arm. I thought for what he did, I think it was almost heroic performance, and they were unlucky to lose that game.
Yeah, they were, considering the Chiefs went, I think, first four series without... They've punted it on all four series, I think. Three and out. Yeah, and Justin Herbert looked like he had a really good touch on the ball as well yesterday, which I was massively impressed. But
I think he showed that he is an NFL level quarterback, and you know whether he's going to be a great quarterback, that remains to be seen. I'm not going to put the pressure on the guy, but he can play, and he's worthy of a starting place, and I'd expect him to continue in that job. And he makes an appearance in the waiver wire this week if you need a quarterback.
Spoiler alert: I think it's good for him. I think it's good for him and proving his draft capital right, you know?
I think it's good for the league. Listen, I've got nothing against Tyra Taylor. I think Tyra Taylor is a good professional. Sermon Hard Knocks, there's a lot to like about Tyra Taylor as the person. Tyra Taylor as the football player does bore me. It is boring to watch. And it's effective. I can't knock it. But I wouldn't want to watch it every week. And I think Herbert gives you a little bit more. And I think he's just a bit more dynamic. He just has a bit more to him. I think he's a better passer of the ball. I think he's just got more weapons. And he just was a bit more exciting to watch. So for me, and I think Chargers fans would agree, the future looks bright with Justin Herbert. At least for the short term, I don't want to heap too much pressure on him.
Absolutely. Let's go to New York and the Giants. Now we'll start with Sterling Shepard. He exited with a toe injury, which is now believed to be turf toe. So that could be several weeks missed from Sterling Shepard. And the main news coming out of New York Giants is that running back Saquon Barkley has suffered a torn ACL. I think that's just been confirmed through MRI.
Yes. He's done for the year.
Done for the year. So if you took Saquon number two, I mean, if you think people were taking Michael Thomas fifth overall, Three of the top five players are going to miss weeks, if not the season, which is just mind-boggling, absolute mind-boggling.
And there's nothing you could have done about this. The only thing I would say, and I'm not critical of New York, given how this is, he got banged up on an earlier play, probably about 3 or 4 minutes before he got the injury that tore his ACL. And he got severely banged up on that play. I think he had like a shunt with the elbow. He sort of went down his elbow and his like shoulder went straight up, and I thought he might have dislocated his shoulder. He missed a series or two, and then he came back into the game and then got injured. And they're two completely, you know, unrelated injuries. But the thing I would just be a little bit worried about is just that if a player's got banged up, was he rushed into the game too soon? I'm not, the two aren't linked. They're not the same injury. But was his head ready, like football ready? That would be the questions I'd be asking the Giants staff, because, you know, he's got absolutely whacked there, and that's it. And as for Sterling Shepard, for a fantasy prospect, anyone with turf toe, Philip Lindsay's got it. You can cut him, I think, because I think by the time he overcomes that, it's weeks, it's not days. And I can't remember the last time I saw a player with turf toe ever come back and be the same player in the same season.
Mm-hmm. And the things I noticed about Saquon's injury was, and because I saw that one live, I was actually watching Red Zone when that happened. It didn't look, normally when you see an ACL go, you can see the ACL injury. This didn't look to me, you know, I'm not saying I've been, well, I have been there, but I was on a motorbike, so I didn't see mine go. But I've seen a fair few in the NFL and college now. And it didn't look, when I saw it, I struggled to see it happen, which is obviously bad because it means that sometimes these injuries aren't immediately visible on replays and stuff, and players might not have the sympathy, or perhaps they might be told to get back up and go back out there if people haven't seen it as bad. And then I also thought Saquon, he was looking to get to the outside on the play. The coverage was there and he was almost running. He should have turned upfield and tried to get one more yard rather than try and beat the guy to the outside, because he didn't have the angle to beat the guy. And I think had he have turned upfield and tried to bury his shoulder into the guy and get another yard or even go down where he was, it might not have happened. But his eagerness to get to the outside, even under good coverage, could possibly be the reason why he got his leg caught.
But and that's what I go back to with this. When you get hurt in a play, in any sport, there is a bit of rust, a bit of shock, I don't know. And I think you've got to analyse when is the right time to put a player into a game after they've exited a game. And I just don't know. And what you've said there is 100% spot on. Was his head 100% there? Or was he still thinking about the last play and getting injured? I'm not saying it from like a, oh, well, he shouldn't go in at any point because he suffered an injury, but he's actually fine. I'm saying it was so short in between. It was a couple of minutes. Did he have enough time to be fully assessed with his head ready? And listen, I could be wrong here. I could be well off base. He could have been absolutely fine. It's a mistake made. But if sands or buts, it's a shame to lose Saquon Barkley. He's an absolute talent. Those that have drafted him you know, I put it in the waiver wire column. You have a right to feel sorry for yourself, but at the same point, one player doesn't make your team. You have to rebuild, and there's opportunities to rebuild via the waiver wire. So the one thing about Saquon Barkley that is interesting was not long after the game, and this is why I talked a little bit about the headspace. He deleted all his pictures on Instagram of him in Giants uniform and anything related to the Giants. And he seemed to be extremely pissed off with the Giants organization. These players do this in Instagram. You know, Adam Robinson did it a couple of weeks ago or last week, and he, you know, got some assurances and new deals coming. And Saquon Barkley's obviously just making a point. But to do it so soon after you've been ruled out with an ACL tear, or you might not have had it confirmed at that point, but he obviously knew. It makes me think that maybe he didn't want to go back into the game at that point either, or there was something about the way that his injuries were handled that made him very unhappy, because I don't understand why a player who has just suffered a season-ending injury would do that unless they were extremely unhappy about something in the moment.
Mm.
And that's why I asked that question. And again, I don't know. I don't have any inside information. I'm just connecting some dots here. There were just a few things. You mentioned, you know, about him going outside. I noticed that too. Making the wrong decision on the play. And it was it was almost like a rookie error. Someone trying too hard, which Saquon Barkley doesn't need to do.
Yep.
And then you put that in with the tear ACL, with the injury shorthanded, and then deleting pictures of Instagram. And I might be well off base here again and might have this completely wrong. This is my opinion and how I see things. I just think that he is unhappy with the way that that situation was handled. And it's an awkward situation for everybody involved. But we hope Saquon is good to go for next season, and we wish him all the best.
Yeah, I suppose the silver lining is week two. So given a full timeline of recovery for the ACL, I imagine training camp next year is not an unbelievable target for him to try and aim for with this ACL injury. Moving on to from the number two overall pick to the number one overall pick, and Carolina Panthers running back CMC exited early against your beloved Bucks, Murph, with an ankle injury. He's believed to be out 4 to 6 weeks with a high ankle sprain.
Yeah, unbelievable, really, when you think about it. You lose Saquon Barkley and you use Christian McCaffrey about an hour later. Just brutal how it's panned out.
Mm.
And I saw the play he was injured on. The unfortunate thing for them is that Carolina were making a comeback. CMC had scored two touchdowns, and they were making a comeback in a game they had no right to make a comeback in. They were 21-0 down at half time. And I just, again, sliding doors moment. If it's still 21-0, I don't think Christian McCaffrey gets injured. And I'm not saying he takes it easy, but I think the play calls would have been slightly different. The intensity would have been slightly different at that stage of the game. So it's amazing that they pushing to try and get back into the game, that they get it to within a score. Maybe it was 10 points at the time, but it was still closer than it had been at any point in the game. And he's almost like trying so hard to get his team back in because of the way that he had been. He'd already got two scores, and then he gets injured. It's just absolutely brutal that has happened to him. And, you know, he's an unbelievable player, and I know he plays for, a rival, but you never want to see injuries. And let's hope it's 4 weeks, because he's had a pretty good injury profile in his career so far, and hopefully that ankle sprain means he can be back in week seven and not, you know, week eight, week nine.
And what does this do for the rest of the Carolina Panthers fantasy wise? I mean,
well, you're all in on Mike Davis, really. That is kind of the way that it goes. Mike Davis came in and was very good. So he played 19 snaps. He made one rush, caught eight balls and 77 yards. So he looked very good. Mike Davis, and he, as I said on the pod yesterday, he's always been pretty good. I thought he was pretty good in Seattle when he was there. He had a flash week one, I think, last year when he was there. I quite like Mike Davis. I don't think I like him as a season-long option, but I think in fantasy football, I think if my fab money, and you're looking at the situations we've got, Lewis, Wayne Gorman, Mike Davis, it's definitely Mike Davis over the three of those for me. I think there's a few other players I would probably take over them. But I think Mike Davis, I don't want to come in and say he's a league winner, but I think of the three, he's got the characteristics more likely to be someone who can return running back one, running back two numbers than Wayne Gorman and Deion Lewis. Especially as, you know, Devonta Freeman's going to go and visit the Giants. So I think there's just less guys on the street if that move happens for Mike Davis. And they also have... Actually, I don't think Reggie Bonifon's there. He got cut. So I don't think he's got a lot of competition. Curtis Samuel might become more relevant and take some snaps out of the backfield and some gadget plays. But, I mean, with the way that Teddy Bridgewater plays, he targets running backs quite a lot, especially in the passing game. They're not going to run the ball tons because they're going to be behind in so many games. That defense is pretty bad. And you know, the Panthers, for me, are definitely in the race to the number one pick. You know, they turned the ball over four times yesterday. It's very probable that they can do that most weeks. And, you know, they've got a lot of players there that are getting up to speed, NFL speed. You've got a new coach. It's just going to be a really difficult year for Panthers fans. And Christian McCaffrey was kind of that one silver light. I think, you know, DJ Moore will be more than, he'll probably see an uplift. Curtis Samuel will be more relevant, but Mike Davis is the one that you want to own in that situation now.
Mm-hmm. Moving on to Indianapolis, the Colts safety Malik Hooker is feared to have torn his Achilles and will have an MRI. He had an MRI on Monday. To make a full determination, that's by Ian Rapoport.
I'm pretty sure Malik Hooker always seems to be injured. He always seems to get some sort of injury, but that is again a really bad one. So again, I've never really known that too many players to have torn Achilles, and yet we've had two in a couple of weeks now. So terrible news.
Yeah. On top of that, wide receiver Paris Campbell did not tear his ACL while suffering a leg injury that saw him carted off the field against the Vikings. But he will have an MRI to determine the full extent of his injury. I think that's comeback.
No,
safe.
He has suffered a PCL. And ACL. So he is out indefinitely. Yeah.
Ah, the twin brother to the ACL.
So he has torn his PCL. Yeah, so he too. Is probably not... going to be out for as good as the season.
Do you want to know a cool fact about when you tear your PCL, what you can do? If you sit in a chair, seated position, and grab the lower half of your leg, you can move the front of your knee away from the other half of your knee.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Yeah. And, I mean, mine still does it a little bit because I've got a natural fiber in there, not one of these new synthetic jobbies because I'm getting on. Oh, and that wasn't crazy. An option when I had mine. But yeah, when you really do it, yeah, it comes away like. Anyway, moving on. The San Francisco's 49ers defensive end Nick Bosa has likely torn his ACL. Is that confirmed?
I had not seen final confirmation because they are obviously later in the day.
I'll move on. Quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo also missed the second half, suffering a high ankle sprain. That's expected to keep him out next week. Running back Maheem Mostert suffered a knee injury and did not play in the second half. It's believed to be a mild MCL sprain, but we'll have follow-up tests. Running back Tevin Coleman exited the game with a knee injury. Defensive lineman Solomon Thomas was carted off the field and did not return. That was also with a knee injury in the first quarter.
I do have some breaking and news breathe. Based on Nick Bosa.
Go for it.
So nothing has been confirmed, but it does appear that Ziggy Ansah is going to be going to the 49ers and be picked up.
Okay.
So it's a replacement.
Fairly shrewd. IDP move if you're looking for an IDP guy to replace.
Yeah, get him added as quickly as possible because, you know, he had quite a career. Don't forget, this guy's a former fifth overall pick, and I know he's getting on a bit, but he's not that old. He's been in the league 7 years, and, you know, he had 50 sacks in 90 games or something like that. So, unbelievable player. But, yeah, it looks like he's going to be the replacement for Nick Bosa. So, going straight off the street and signing someone, Raheem Mostert is again another player in a running back position that is just, it's fallen so thin. This is why running backs get drafted so high, is because it's such a volatile position. You've got to have a lot of them. I've always said about the strategy that it's the position most likely to be injured with the position of the least amount of depth. You know, once you move outside the top 24 guys, they're just names almost afterwards at that point. And you know, this is why, and we've just seen, you know, four, there's three names there this week that are top 20 RBs gone, just gone pretty much for good amounts of portions of the league. Most that might be back in 2 to 3 weeks, maybe, but yeah, crazy.
Yep. Moving on to my Denver Broncos. Quarterback Drew Lock, as we mentioned, suffered a right shoulder injury in the first half, did not return against the Steelers. Cortland Sutton exited early with a knee injury and cramping. And then Dremont Jones, defensive end, also exited early with a knee injury. Man, there's so many knee injuries. It would not surprise me if everybody has to wear a knee brace next year or something extreme like that.
Something like that. It's strange. Well, Cortland Sutton has actually torn his ACL, so he is done for the year.
Which is
confirmed. Drew Lock has a rotator cuff strain, which will be 2 weeks. He should be back before the week 8 bye. So they're saying at least 2 weeks, realistically probably three to four. And the problem with the rotator cuff is that's on his throwing arm.
Mm.
So that is something that he could be out to the bye in order to fully heal, because if he goes into that and he's not fully healed, as we've seen with Cam Newton in the past, it can lead to worse injuries there. So, that's a really worrying injury. And, you know, as you mentioned, you've lost Von Miller, you've lost Cortland Sutton now. I mean, I said on the pod, I sort of added it as almost a throwaway, but add KJ Hamler now, because you might as well. This season will now be seen for the Broncos as a, let's get through it year. It's going to be very hard to compete in the division with the Chiefs as it is. And now you've got all of this to deal with. I mean, I like Jeff Driscoll. He went to Florida. He's a Gator. So I'll always sort of like the guy, but I don't think he's a guy I want as my quarterback for 6 weeks.
No, and shout out to our boy Tom over at 5 Yard College. He wrote an article in the offseason about if Drew Lock goes down, there is no plan B at the Broncos. And lo and behold, here we are. No plan B and Jeff Driscoll holding the torch. So
no, well, we sort of were chatting in the group and we were saying, right, who's the best available free agent?
Nope.
The only name in there meets any kind of profile is Blake Bortles.
Murph, I said no. Listen,
it might not happen. I if I'm Denver, I'm probably not doing it, but I'm just saying it could happen.
My man Elway's made a few odd decisions in quarterbacks in the past.
This is what I mean. I don't know where else you go other than that. I don't think if you're trusting Jeff Driscoll to...
Well, it must be someone from the XFL or someone knocking about.
They all got signed. PJ Walker got signed by Carolina.
Rosen.
I mean, yeah, you could take Rosen off our practice squad. Do you think that's a better option than Blake Bortles?
I just go with Jeff. Jeff's proven.
He's proven.
Oh, dear. What's happening here? The Atlanta Falcons believe offensive tackle Caleb McGarry suffered an MCL sprain and will have an MRI to confirm it. That's from NFL's Tom Pelissero. The Falcons offensive line has first round picks taken a bit of a beating.
Yeah. They're being banged up. They had a few more injuries in this game, but the one thing that hurt more than these injuries is their pride after tanking and losing from 20-0, 26-7, and 29-10 were game points that they were up in that game and lost. I do have a cool stat for you. I know it's on the streets, but I'm going to steal this one from Mark Sessler for those that listen to the Around the NFL podcast. Before yesterday, teams were 440-0 when scoring 39 points and having zero turnovers.
Welcome to the club, Atlanta.
I mean, Atlanta really are history makers.
On the wrong side of history.
I mean, listen, they're Atlanta, right? And I'm trying to be respectful and take my Buccaneers hat off, but that is one of the worst defeats I've ever seen. The Super Bowl, I can half understand because of the pressure, the enormity of the situation. You've never won it. You're playing the best quarterback and arguably the best team of all time. I can kind of just take all of those things and go, the pressure got you. Like, the pressure got to you and you choked. Fine. Week 2 against Dallas, who lost week 1 to the Rams. I just don't get that. I don't get how you can lose from that situation. You fake punt twice when you don't need to. I just don't understand it. Like, someone needs to explain to me how they lost that game.
Somebody,
you know, they don't know the rules on recovering onside kicks. I just...
Yeah, that one is absolute shambolic.
I just don't understand how they lost that game. Like, and Falcons fans must have woken up this morning wanting the world to swallow them up.
I don't know if you've got a note about Julio Jones's hamstring in this injury list, do you, Murph?
No, I didn't. I didn't see.
Yeah, well, he played through it all game, so.
Well, that's what I thought.
The fact that Julio Jones was playing when you ever saw him not running, he was basically hobbling along, limping and hobbling. So the fact that Julio's got a hamstring as well in week two is, yeah, not great, not great. Minnesota Vikings linebacker Anthony Barr did not return against the Colts after suffering a shoulder injury in the first half. Running back Mike Boone also exited early with a concussion. Mike Boone got some snaps. Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of it. The game was lost, essentially. So Mike Boone's a good blocker. And so I think he's only come on to just alleviate some of the work. I don't think that's anything to worry about. I don't think he played a high percentage of snaps. Or it might have even been special teams work. I don't remember actually seeing him get injured. He's not really on my radar. And watching the Vikings is pretty terrible.
Oh, it's god awful. If you're a Dalvin Cook owner, like, I get they want to run the ball and stuff, but Kirk Cousins was absolutely dire yesterday. The Vikings...
I mean, he had one of the worst quarterback performances I have seen for quite some time.
And the Colts don't even look good. That's the thing. The Colts did not look good yesterday when they were driving. They did not look good.
They looked comfortable. They looked like they were going to win the game pretty easily, and did. But, you know, strange. That wasn't a good watch. There's not many times I look at a game and go, yeah, I just didn't think that was a good watch. I will try and get back to it on Game Pass this week. But first views on it, I wasn't too enamored by it. There were better games this week.
There sure were. Moving on to a game that wasn't good if you were a New York Jets fan. Wide receiver Breshad Perriman exited early with an ankle injury, and Chris Hogan also exited with a rib injury and did not return. For an already beat up Jets team that's pretty despondent on hope right now, that's a couple of bad bits of news right there.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I don't know what to make of that. I mean, we've hit a run of teams that just... It just don't look good. And it's only 2 weeks, but I don't see where the Jets go from here until they fire Adam Gase. But he if he's not the first coach gone, I don't know what's happened.
Yeah.
Because I can't see him making the bye week. I really can't. I think he's going to be gone in 3-4 weeks' time.
It's whatever whatever is happening over there at the Jets right now, it is not good. The culture they are breeding through Adam Gase is... I wouldn't want to be a part of it.
No. And they got the Colts next week, who I haven't looked too great this season, but I think the Colts will dispatch them pretty easily.
Yeah.
I think it will be an embarrassment of riches. But it
will be exactly like it was for the Minnesota Vikings last night. It'll be a death by 1,000 cuts. It won't be pretty. It will just be keep going until they don't go anymore, I think, that one. Buffalo Bills tight end Dawson Knox exited early against the Dolphins with a concussion. I think he was having a fairly good game. I think he's looked pretty good the first 2 weeks, Dawson Knox.
I don't think he looked too great. He definitely missed a catch.
He did miss one absolute sitter.
That was an absolute sitter. So, yeah, one to watch there. I'm not convinced that Dawson Knox is a fantasy-relevant tight end, but he won't be for the next few weeks anyway.
We can put that on the back burner until he comes back and proves you right again, Mo.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kansas City Chiefs defensive end Frank Clark exited early against the Chargers because of an illness, and running back Darrell Williams suffered an ankle injury and did not return. I don't know what happened to the Chiefs yesterday. Yeah, they got the dub, like we said, but the Chargers could have won that, and the Chiefs, they looked really off.
I don't think they did. I just think that you have to give credit to great defensive play that was. They stuffed the line. They stacked the box. They really, really shut down the run game, which kind of just really stopped the Chiefs from making any progress. And they watched tape. That defense is sneaky good. Sneaky good defense, that Chargers D. And I think that they had momentum. They had everything going for them, and I just think they were good. It was a good performance, and it took Mahomes to be at his absolute best to win that game. He made some great throws down the stretch to win that game.
He did. And then finally, in the injury news roundup, Ravens coach John Harbaugh has said cornerback Tavon Young suffered a season-ending left knee injury in Baltimore's win over the Texans. The name doesn't ring a bell. Is he a starting cornerback for the Ravens, Murph? Do you know?
He's like the three. But yeah, I mean, anytime you get a season-ending injury, it's just brutal. It just shows, again, another knee injury. How many more injuries did we have yesterday? How many knee injuries? It just was shocking. So I put it in there just because it was another season-long injury. And yeah, I don't think it held much fantasy relevance, but it's still an absolute shame.
Yeah. I want to point out how the show notes work here at 5 Yard Rush, guys. We tend to put a little minute marker on the notes just to help us along. And the next one is minute 25, and I think we've been going for 40 now. So you know how Murph and I roll. We start talking, we don't stop. And you get what you get when you're given it. This is Fantasy Takeaways. Murph, I'm going to be honest, I haven't had time to get to mine this week. So I'm going to read yours out, and you're going to explain them to me.
Sure, we can do this fairly quickly. They're just little snackets, thoughts, thought bubbles, whatever you want to call them. Just things that I was walking away thinking of about the week two in fantasy football. Outside of all the injuries, I wanted to try and get past the injuries at the moment.
Yeah.
And just think about what's remaining, and think about some other stuff. So just some takeaways from the games that I've watched so far, and then analyzing the points and things like that.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I mean, I do have one takeaway in that, and as much as we have enjoyed the season so far, let's not jump ahead of ourselves. It is only week two. Week three hasn't started yet. So let's focus on the week two that's just happened and get to week three in a little bit. Murph's first one is that early round quarterbacks and tight ends not paying off right now.
No, and just to explain this one a little bit. So when looking at QB's season totals at the moment. So I'm just looking at the season totals, right? And I appreciate it's two games. It's 1/8 of the season. Everything can change. But if you look at the performances so far, Patrick Mahomes is the 8th overall quarterback. Lamar Jackson is the 10th overall quarterback. In between them is Ryan Tannehill, who you'd got as a late round. Just underneath Lamar Jackson is Gardner Minshew by 0.8 of a point. Well, he's less than 20% owned now. Joe Burrow was pretty much free. He's just behind them. You've got in here Cam Newton, who was essentially free. He's the 3rd overall QB. Josh Allen was going fairly late, not the latest, but certainly like 7th, 8th round. And same with Russell Wilson. So those two are 1 and 2 right now, and they would have sort of paid off again over those higher volume QBs. And listen, I know it's going to change, and I know that the cream will rise to the top. But my point is that if you've invested in these QBs, you're already kind of behind the eight ball chasing points because they're not delivering you the advantage that you have invested in. That happens one game, you go fine. That happens two games, okay, fine. But they're 20, 25 points off the pace right now, off the QB1. So they're going to need to have a monumental game to get back into the mix, and then they're going to have to score more to get your gravy on top. So it could be a quarter halfway through the season before they start getting into that upper echelon tier. But if they're not creating a massive gap, that's where you're losing. And that's why I've always advocated, we wrote it in the book, that you cannot take a quarterback early because you need everything to go your way. And right now it really isn't. The same could be said for tight ends. So, okay, Kelce is the tight end 4 at the moment, which is fine, but that's not where you've drafted him. Dallas, Mark Andrews is the tight end 6. You know, unfortunately, Kittle is injured and you can't really hold him, to be fair, for that. But you're looking at the guys who are dominating right now. Jonnu Smith is the tight end 1. Okay, he had a massive week last week, right? Sunday. Noah Fant, Tyler Higbee, Mike Gesicki, Dallas Goedert, Jordan Reed, all these guys pretty much free. TJ Hockenson free. Hayden Hurst was a late round guy. Hunter Henry, late round guy. John Aikens, so he's still free in a lot of leagues. Dalton Schultz, because again, he's an injury recover. Mo Ali Cox, Logan Thomas. Zach Ertz is 17th. Like, again, you're not getting the advantages. Now, Kelce's a little bit closer to the top and he can probably get there, but yeah, I know it's early, and I'm sure that the cream will rise to the top eventually, but if you're not getting advantages early on, what are you getting? Because if you've bought them just for a safe floor, then you're kind of missing the point of the game. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to have high performers. So, yeah, it's not playing out right now. Be good to evaluate this in a couple of weeks' time with a few more data points and see where they are and how they're performing.
We can certainly do that. Now we've got the idea for it. We should do that. Moving on to number two, and that is that wide receiver scoring is not giving the early wide receivers an advantage.
Yes, it's kind of in the same vein, right? But what's interesting is I'm going to ignore the overall season totals and I'm going to give you week to week. So this week, okay, Calvin Ridley in half point PPR was the wide receiver one with 22.9. So he was fifth round player. Stephon Diggs later than that. Terry McLaurin, Julian Edelman, Tyreek Hill is the first one. So 16.8. Mike Evans, 16.4. And they're really the only two of the high caliber players that are featuring in the top 12. Nuke Hopkins is 13th this week, 12.8. DJ Moore, 15th, 12th. All the sort of big guys are kind of missing this week. And I know Adams put a huge total up week one. But you say huge, it wasn't that big. He put 27.6. He was the wide receiver one. Calvin Ridley, for example.
Yeah, 24.
Calvin Ridley was third. Yeah, 24.9. Darius Slayton, 22.2. Robbie Anderson. And the argument will be, well, how do you pick these guys every week? Obviously, that's a bit more of a difficult challenge. But my point is the elite production isn't happening week to week. And you can blame injuries. You can blame game situations. You can blame fixtures. But my point is it's not overly happening. And yes, again, it's two data points. But if you look at the strategy of picking players early where you need to be, this was the year to invest in running backs, even if you've picked a running back that's got hurt, and there has been a lot of them. If you went and drafted three running backs in the first four rounds, you needed to, because they're the ones that are proving to be the big difference makers right now over what's available. And the other thing that's really key on this is looking at the 100-yard games. So I pulled the total, and there's been from wide receivers 22 100-yard games in the first 2 weeks of the season, which is down quite significantly on last season. So that's something to also be really mindful of, but also that it's more common that more players get it. Whereas you're looking at running backs, there's only 9 that have delivered that, but there's a lot of 90s and 80s and the touchdowns, etc. It really sort of gets to a critical mass where you're at sort of 28, 30 players, it gets to 70, and then it starts to drop off a cliff. And my point on that is a lot of players are getting those 100-yard games, and it's even down from last year. But the running backs, those elite ones, or the ones that are getting the 100-yard games, they're your league winners. You look at the players that have done it this year: Aaron Jones, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Nick Chubb, Derrick Henry. All right, Benny Snell, not a name that would have been highly drafted. James Conner, Leonard Fournette. All right, appreciate the circumstances are different to when he drafted, but he did it. Jonathan Taylor and James Robinson are the only people to do it. But most of those, with the exception of Robinson and Snell, were high draft picks. And then you look at the games in the 90s, Christian McCaffrey, Ezekiel Elliott, Miles Sanders, Josh Jacobs, Austin Eckler, Raheem Mostert, Elliott again, Kenyon Drake. These are all the names at the top of the draft board. So these guys are rising to the top already in what they've done in their game splits. Whereas if I look at it from a wide receiver perspective, from most yards in a game, it's, you know, Julian Edelman. What was he? 8th round guy?
Mm.
179 yards. He's got the most yards in a game by a wide receiver. Then, okay, you've got Julio Jones, Devontae Adams, Stephon Diggs, 6th round guy. Hopkins, Ridley, 5th round guy. McLaurin, 6th round guy. DJ Moore, 5th round guy. Jameson Crowder, 115. 9th, 10th round guy. Robbie Anderson, later than that. Russell Gage, 3. Will Fuller, Adam Thielen, okay, fine. Calvin Ridley, Robbie Anderson, C.D. Lamb, Robert Woods, okay, he was still 5th round, 4th round. Mike Evans, Darius Slayton, Corey Davis, Marquise Hollywood Brown, and Amari Cooper. I mean, Hill hasn't done it. Okay, he got a 99-yard game. But my point is that it's not the elite guys that are putting up the numbers exclusively, whether it is in the running back position. And then it's only 2 weeks. So again, I keep repeating that. But the draft board at the moment has played out almost correctly that if you missed the boat on wide receiver and went running back heavy and stocked up with those fifth, sixth round wide receiver guys, if you've avoided the injury trades right now, you're in a really good spot.
Mm-hmm.
So from that analysis, that structure is only 2 weeks, is paying off.
It'd be interesting to see if you did go zero RB, how your season has started.
Well, you might be all right, because if you've swerved the injuries and you've picked those big guys and you've got a lot of wide receivers, you've probably done okay. The ones that have really lost would have been the ones that took an elite RB early and went back-to-back wide receiver, and didn't get another running back until, say, round five.
Mm.
So let's say they went like a CMC or Barkley. Those guys will be the ones that and then went back-to-back wide receiver in the next couple of rounds, and then maybe a tight end. Those guys will be the guys that are really suffering right now.
Absolutely. Number three is that Murphy's all in on Joshua Kelly off the waiver wire. If he's on the waiver wire, Murphy's going after him.
100%. And the one thing about Joshua Kelly I really like is that he's becoming more and more relevant. So I'm just going to give you some stats as to why I'm in on Josh Kelly. So week one, he had 4 touches inside the 20-yard line, and he had 3 rushes inside the 10, and he got 2 touchdowns, so 1 inside the 20, 1 inside the 10. But he only played 18 snaps that week one, 26.9% of the snaps. He did play some special team snaps as well. So whilst his performance on week two wasn't as impressive, he also got those 4 carries inside the 20 and the 3 carries inside the 10. But his snap percentage almost doubled and he played 52% of the snaps. What this is telling me is that the Chargers are going to basically use him as a banger inside the 20. He's going to get all the red zone carries if they're going to carry the ball, which with a rookie, that is definitely something they're going to do more of. He's becoming a much bigger part of this offense. He knows how to find the pay dirt. He didn't run particularly well, but he got quite a significant amount of catches yesterday and broke off big plays. So he's got that big playability. I think if there's any waiver wires out there where Joshua Kelly is known, I'm aggressively hunting him, because I think this, I don't think he's going to be an RB1 or a league winner. Right? I do think he's got RB2 numbers at a pretty consistent rate. So I really like Joshua Kelly not to be a huge, like, oh my God, he's going to win me a league. But I think he's just going to be an enormous value at this point on the waiver wire.
Surprise, surprise, Murph. The next one is Buccaneers related. Fire the cannons. Mike Evans greater than Chris Godwin in fantasy football.
This one's going to seem harsh because Godwin didn't play at the weekend. But when you've got a player like Brady, and we've seen this his entire career, it's about building relationships. It's about building continuity. Mike Evans was banged up, caught a touchdown week one. All right, it was his only catch, but he made some really big plays with pass interference plays against the Saints. And in week two, he was just enormous. He was a massive target for Brady, led the team in targets. Again, another great touchdown. Brady trusts him. They have a rapport. In fact, to be honest, that's the one partnership at the moment that I think is solid in that team. And appreciate Godwin's going to come back and he's going to get his chance. But I think that connection is already there from Brady to Evans. They are on the same page. You can see it. I know they got a little bit off page early week one. I think they've done extra training together this week. But he is definitely his red zone guy. I think Mike Evans is going to be the one used to get really big plays. I think he's going to get more touchdowns. I've got no doubt in my mind if Mike Evans stays healthy, he's easily going to eclipse 1,000 yards again this season. I think Mike Evans finishes above Chris Godwin in the fantasy football rankings this season.
I don't disagree. I'm gonna follow your guidance on that one, being a Super Buccaneers fan. And then the last one, Murph, is that Josh Allen can finish as the quarterback one in this year.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've already talked to, I think he's the QB2 right now. He's right behind Russell Wilson. But what we've seen from Josh Allen is we've seen just about everything. Everybody says he can't throw. He threw for nearly 400 yards yesterday, or did he break 400 yards? He had a massive game. It was a game that, okay, it's Miami, but they were losing that game in the fourth quarter. He came back and he won it. He can run touchdowns in. He has so many things in his arsenal right now. And now that he's got Stefon Diggs, it's literally the weapon that is going to take him over the top. Because him and Diggs have got right on page. You've got Smokey Brown in there who's done a great job. And you've got Cole Beasley, who is a three. I love him as a three. I think that's a great wide receiver core. They're really playing to Josh Allen right now. And I think Josh Allen will easily finish in the top three, four quarterbacks. But I definitely can see a path to where Josh Allen finishes as the QB1 this year. Got some tough games down the stretch. But I do think that, yes, okay, he has had an easy schedule so far. And I get it. And I'm trying not to overhype. But everything that he has done so far has shown me how far he has come. And for me, when this is all said and done, he will probably be the second best QB out of that 2018 class when you look at their career.
Mm. And
because Baker Mayfield is one to be worried about. Sam Darnold is one to be extremely worried about. Josh Rosen's on the practice squad.
Yeah. And when you think about the way people talked about Lamar going into last season, and then he had a couple of easy cupcakes to start his season, and he went off and carried it onto the season. Like you said, Josh Allen could do exactly the same thing because he's obviously made some gains in his ability to throw downfield in the offseason, because that was one of his weaknesses. I think his deep ball accuracy was something dire, like 14% or something horrendous.
Yeah, it was bad, but you have to look at who he was throwing to as well.
Absolutely.
I think
he proved that yesterday. There was one deep pass where he was after John Brown, and I think John Brown may have got caught up on a slightly wrong route that he was running, because Josh nearly threw an interception and the DB probably should have picked him off. But then a couple of times he picked Diggs out long down the field on deep passes, and they were beautiful little rainbows and they were right on the money. So I think,
yeah, I think he's
going the right
way.
Good. Yeah, he is.
He really is. I think Josh Allen, with that rushing floor, with those rushing touchdowns, but also the fact that he's got a wide receiver that can make elite plays. If I'm looking at the people who are going to challenge him over 16 games, I think Russell Wilson isn't going to quite get there, but I think he's a great quarterback. Don't get me wrong. I just don't think he's quite in that top tier. Dak hasn't started so well. And I think that contract negotiation is something. Listen, great comeback yesterday, but wasn't too great. Week one wasn't great in the first half of that game. You know, he's put together two quarters out of eight that I think he's played pretty well in. And that was a game that was lost. Like, you can play with some freedom at that point. Mahomes is an elite talent and very capable, but he's not looking at the, I don't know, the Chiefs look a bit different this year. They're going for like a more efficiency kind of route than that baller. We're going to put 50 points on everyone all week. Lamar, again, is elite, and they're the ones that will challenge Allen. But I think Allen has got it in his arsenal to be right up there.
Absolutely. Right, Murph. The fans have wanted it. I can't wait for it. The streets are back, baby. Come on then. It's Murph on the Streets time. What have you got for us?
Okay. So I've got a few interesting stats here. Some of these you're like, some of these you might not be big fans of, but here we go. But Cam Newton has set the record for most games with two rushing TDs as a quarterback since 1950. So he passed that mark on Sunday, where he had 8th career two rushing touchdown game. He was in a 5-way tie, which included Hall of Famers Steve Young and Otto Graham. But as a result, now he is on his own since 1950 as the most player with the most quarterback with the most 2+ rushing TD games.
That's, do you have anything else Cam Newton related, or can I tack on to that?
No, tack on to it.
So yesterday, Cam Newton accounted for 95.7% of New England's offensive yardage. 444 of the 464 yards were accounted for by Cam Newton.
Crazy.
Sorry, Murph.
No, that's a good stat. I didn't realize it was that high. I mean, he's definitely balling out up there right now. So, you know, Super Cam, here he comes. He's just got to stay healthy. Deshaun Watson has only lost two games by more than 14 points in his career. Week 11 last year and week 2 this year, both at the hands of Lamar Jackson and the Ravens.
Huh.
Justin Herbert is the first player with a passing touchdown and a rushing touchdown in the first half of his NFL debut since Bob Clatterbuck of the New York Giants in 1954.
Oh, Bob Clatterbuck. I remember that one well.
Yeah.
Justin.
I just like the name. That's the reason I put it in.
Wow, it's a long time record, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So since Philip Rivers' first start, the Chargers had one starting quarterback over 5,116 days. Now they've had two over the last 7 days, with Justin Herbert getting his first start yesterday. There's no real meaning in that. I just thought it was funny. The Packers are the eighth team in the Super Bowl era to score 40-plus points in each of their first two games of the season. Each of the last two such teams, the 2013 Broncos and the 2009 Saints, went to the Super Bowl that season.
Huh. Okay.
It's also the third time in Rodgers' era that the Packers have scored 40 points in back-to-back games. Each of the previous two times, 2011 and 2014, Rodgers went on to win the NFL MVP award that season.
That's it. I'm all in on Green Bay. I've decided. Murph on the streets has made Green Bay my team to pick.
Here's a good one for you. At 37 years and 129 days old, Frank Gore just became the oldest player with 20-plus carries in a game in NFL history.
That doesn't surprise me that it's Frank Gore.
It doesn't, does it?
No.
I've got to find you one more.
That's all right. We can wait. I've been waiting for this for weeks and weeks, months even. There wasn't a week one, and I was disappointed, and Rush Nation were disappointed, and now we're getting the good stuff.
Here we go. So, with a 75-yard receiving touchdown in week one and an 80-yard rushing touchdown in week two, Raheem Mostert sprints into the history books. Mostert is the first player with a 75-plus-yard touchdown in weeks one and two of the season since Bears returner Cecil Turner in 1970.
1970?
Yeah.
Crikey.
Also, just some more stats on that. Raheem Mostert took the first play from scrimmage for an 80-yard rushing touchdown against the Jets. It was the first rush TD of 80-plus yards in the first 20 seconds of a game since Bob Rainey for the Buccaneers in Week 14, 2013. Also, Raheem Mostert reached 23.09 miles per hour on that run, which is the fastest ever run recorded over the last two seasons.
Didn't he break that record last week as well, in Week 1?
Yeah. And then he broke it again.
Oh, man. Mostert had juice up until the moment he didn't this week. Hey, we've got one little more segment, Murph, about burying teams' playoffs hopes. Do you want to do that this week or do you want to wait till next week?
Let's do it next week because I think over three teams we can start talking about burying.
Well, yeah. I hope one of them isn't orange.
We will see.
Yeah, we will see. Mate, thank you for the streets. I appreciated it. It was good fun.
Good. Glad you enjoyed it. It was good to do it.
It was good. Man, as always, this has been an absolute blast. I enjoyed the waiver pod yesterday. I'm looking forward to the in-depth pods later on in the week. But, mate, who knows what the government is going to have in store for us. So you make sure you stay safe.
You too. Wash those hands. Was it?
It's ridiculous is what it is.
Is it space?
Face.
Face, space, safe, or something like that.
We don't even know. Our government has put out like a saying, and we don't even know what it is, Rush Nation. That's how much we've not given up on COVID, but that's how much
basically
of a mess
it is. Wear masks.
Stay away from everyone.
Stay away from everyone. Don't have any fun. Go to work. Don't go to work.
No, we're not doing that again. This is not a he said, she said. We're talking about don't have any fun. Listen to 5 Yard Arch, man. We've got you covered 5 days a week, plus the 5 Yard College Boys are over there spinning some excellent stuff whatsoever.
And we're now on Amazon Podcasts. Amazon started doing podcasts, so it should be easier to find on your Alexa smart speaker.
Oh, I wanted to say it then, but I've got one sat behind me and she would have kicked off and I'd be able to hear myself. There you are, Rush Nation. If you want to hear it, talk to your Amazon device and get us in your kitchen, workspace, wherever it is you have an Alexa device. That was me pausing just to make sure she wasn't talking. Right, Rush Nation, Murph, you stay safe. And as always, don't forget, keep rushing.
Entitled to sexual health, just as much as physical and mental health.
We want to make it easier for folks to find resources. However they engage with us, there's no wrong door.
So it's important that people are able to get access to care that is affirming.
Talking about what their sex life is, about their concerns, and to make sure they're healthy.
Do it for them. Do it for you, Montgomery County.
Your sexual health matters. Visit doitforyoumc.org.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.